Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Recent studies find that the lack of an understanding of managing money has a serious impact on financial health. Now, that's not a surprising finding, but what do you do to make up for this deficit of information? How do we provide financial education and access to resources? We're going to talk with Ruth Susswine, who is the Deputy Director of National Priorities for Consumer Action, and she's been very involved in the whole literacy field for a number of years. Ruth, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
You know, and it isn't surprising that if you don't understand managing, you don't understand finances, that you're going to have problems dealing with your own resources and your own ability to get solutions to your problems. But I think that's particularly important in a time where we've gone through such an economic crisis and people have had a lot of financial problems and they're trying to get it all sorted out. So how do we start? Well, first off, define financial literacy.
That's a good point. So essentially, I would say that financial literacy is having enough information to be able to make smart financial decisions, short term and long term.
Okay. And that means you've got to have some knowledge. You've got to know the resources that you can use to gather that knowledge. And that's where you all come in.
That's right. We hope to help people in all sorts of ways when it comes to comparing financial information, when it comes to referring people to places to go to be able to find good information. That's what we do, and of course we do it for free.
Yeah, right. Now, let's talk about some of the things. The study I alluded to, which as I suppose, it's not surprising. I mean, we know that that
right.
is a fact. But what are some of the things you think that institutions, consumer groups, and consumers need to do to get us through the financial crisis that we've been in and get us to solid ground?
Well, you know, some of those good, solid choices don't change, whether we're in a recession or not. And I'm talking about things like knowing how much you owe and making sure that you've got that under control. You know, what we've seen is that some people have come out of this recession feeling more financially healthy, and others still are suffering.
And that probably has a lot to do with your financial smarts, I hate to say it.
That's right. That's right. And although in the study that we were involved in just recently, we found that people ended up feeling more financially literate coming out of this recession, still there's a long way to go. There are still plenty of folks who don't. But we're talking about things like knowing how much you owe,
mm-hmm.
owing as little as possible.
Right.
And if you're someone who is young and has income, establishing credit, getting a credit card.
And, you know, that seems simple to you and me. We've been around the block a few times. But for someone who's just gotten out of high school or graduating from college and they've got they need to get all of this, their ducks in a row, don't they? Because what they do now has such a serious impact on them long term.
Right. And I think it's hard to understand that when you're just starting out.
Right.
That it has.
Well, you think, oh, this is just today. It's going tomorrow. It's going away.
Right.
No.
And I think that if people remember nothing else, if they remember to pay your bills on time,
mm-hmm.
that.
And you know, that seems so simple.
Right.
But people don't realize that when you don't, if you have a habit of being late on your bills, it's going to seriously impact your credit rating, which is going to seriously impact your debt
right.
and what you actually end up having to pay for loans.
Exactly. I mean, if you don't realize that you may not be able to rent an apartment because your credit record is lousy because mm-hmm. you just didn't pay bills on time.
Right.
Because I think it's very easy to think, what's the big deal? I'll pay it today. I'll pay it tomorrow.
Right.
When in fact, it makes a huge difference.
It is a big deal. And unfortunately, that follows you for a long time. So I think that's where. Now, are you all in much of your financial education, are you looking at educating young people? Or are we also talking about older people who have gone down the road and not really had the answers?
Well, the truth is we educate everyone
mm-hmm.
from doing it online and individually
mm-hmm.
through our hotline, and we do it through train the trainer sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And we tend to focus on community organizations and other groups who we train, and then we hope that they take that good information
sure.
and bring it to
and
their
put
communities.
It to the community.
Right.
Right, exactly. And that's so important, because if you don't have leaders or group leaders who understand the ins and outs of resources, information. How do you get help?
Right.
You're not going to have a successful program. So that's what you're doing.
That's what we do. And we offer it online at consumer-action.org. We have all sorts of information from telecom to banking to credit cards, et cetera, that people can turn to for free on our website. So as a matter of fact, we just put out a pre-purchase resource guide that can be very helpful to people before they make big financial choices.
All right. Now tell me what that is.
Basically, it's a roadmap to comparisons and websites, to a whole bunch of dozens of websites.
You've put it together for people.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
And we've said, before you go and choose a wireless plan, a health insurance plan, buy a used car, look here at these resources. It can save you time and money.
Yeah. Well, especially buying used cars. Do you know that is the largest area of complaint we have at Call for Action?
I'm not surprised.
And the second largest area is home improvement and home project, construction development projects. Not development, home additions, home remodeling. It's terrible, Rich.
Well, I must say that these are areas that are in our pre-purchase resource guide. And one thing that I think it's important for people to know is that when it comes to items either bought in their home or if you're a California resident, when it comes to contractors, you can have a 3-day right to cancel, a right to rescind the contract if you catch something quickly. So that's important.
Now, the
3-day,
say that again. That's not the tip. You're not talking about the federal cooling off law, which only applies to door-to-door sales in some circumstances.
There are
state laws.
There are state laws as well, California being one of them, as it relates to contractors in particular.
Okay.
That if you sign a contract with a contractor, you still have that 3-day right to cancel.
And that's true. Like with health clubs, I think you have a week or something in some jurisdictions because of the problems that people have had.
Right. So these are things also.
You need to know that.
Definitely. If you decide to take out a home equity loan, you have a right to cancel for 3 days, this right to rescind, even if you go to their office to purchase this loan. So it's important that people know there are times that they do have rights to turn it around and say, wait a minute, I've
now
got
that,
a problem.
That information should be in the contract.
It should be.
But reading a contract
yep.
That's
yep.
not an easy chore. The fine print, get on your strongest glasses, get out your binocular, your magnifying glass, and plow through it.
Right. Have patience.
Absolutely. Let's just take a brief pause to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Ruth Susswine. She is the Deputy Director of the National Priorities for Consumer Action, and we're talking about financial literacy. Now, it wouldn't surprise you to know that the lack of that, of said same, would be serious impact on your financial health. But what do we do about it? And how do we go out and make improvements? And that's some of the things that we're talking about here. Education projects, online resources now are so incredible. And if people don't have a computer, you can go to the library.
Right.
Must always get help there, right?
Definitely. Definitely. You know, there are a lot of people having trouble with student loans these days.
Oh, yes.
College student loans. And if you're having, particularly if you're having a problem with a federal student loan, there's an ombudsman at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. There is at the Department of Education help. And people need to seek out these resources because if there are opportunities for loan forgiveness and public service jobs, even things like being a teacher. You may have chosen that career anyway, and yet you may have an opportunity to have your loans forgiven or partially forgiven. So these are ways to save money responsibly while you're doing something important.
And you know what? Most of us don't know all those things. That's why you all are so important. You're finding out for us, finding out all the secret things that we need to know. Now, you've been doing financial literacy for a number of years. You and I have known each other for a long time. You've been on the radio program before. How do you see it changing? Do you see that people are getting smarter about finances, or do we still have the same old problems?
Well, I would say both. Right.
Okay.
Some of these debts and financial loopholes continue. and and will continue, and we're going to have to be aware so that we don't get caught with these tricks and traps, right?
Now, there's not that much financial education that's done in schools, or maybe I'm overestimating it by saying that much, because there's not a whole lot.
Well, there are some states that require it, but it's so few,
Right.
And it is so necessary. I mean, no matter what we choose to do in life, we're going to need to know how to be financially literate.
How to manage our money and how to make money and all of that. But you know, if parents don't understand this, they can't teach their kids.
That's right.
So there, it's got to be a kind of a thing that it's across the board.
Right.
Everybody needs to improve their skills. So, all right, for a parent who's listening here now and saying, okay, I want to do a better job. I want to be able to train my children, my little kids that are growing up. Do they start with giving them a little budget and giving them a few pennies to put in a bank account, put in their piggyback, a bank? Is that the best way to start kids going to some sort of sense of financial responsibility?
It is a good way. I don't know if there's a best way, but there's a good way.
It works.
I think giving kids an allowance and letting them know what you expect them to spend that money on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some parents say, here's your clothing budget as soon as they're in high school. And then it's a matter of sticking to that budget. And if the child decides to buy, you know, two pair of jeans and spend all their money on those jeans, then that should it for for the year. At the same time, of course, lots of other people say, this is your spending money. And if I can afford to give you an allowance, then when you want to go to a movie, whatever, this is what your money should be spent on. And being wearing a parent hat as well, I have to say, it's that's something that kids need to be reminded of time and again.
Don't they, though? Mommy, Johnny down the street has one. That's a familiar refrain.
Right. But, you know, setting some sort of limit, wherever it is for you, affordably and where it is in your
philosophy.
But that's
true of us as adults, too.
Yeah.
And I guess that's where budgets and planning and knowing about your debt that you mentioned earlier, that's also critical in terms of us getting on the right path. But now what about people who are just facing what they feel are insurmountable debts? I mean, there are some people in this, we're having some dire situations.
Absolutely.
How do you tell them to start? How do they dig out? First off, of course, as you said, to go see what kind of resources there are for debt forgiveness.
Right. And I would also warn people that there are companies out there, debt relief companies.
Oh, yes.
That are ready to take your last penny and promise you the world.
And do nothing.
And they don't deliver. That's right. That's right. And so people should know that there are options, legitimate nonprofits that will help people be relieved of debt. And there should be no upfront fees.
No.
No upfront fees.
Right.
And so right away, that should be a telltale sign to people to stay away.
Yeah, if they want
if
money from you up front.
Right.
We say the same thing to people who are job hunting. You know, you shouldn't have to pay to get a job.
Right.
Generally, if companies have openings, they hire somebody to recruit for them or they recruit themselves.
Right.
But you don't have to pay for that. That should be the expense should be borne by the company.
Exactly.
And we see a lot of that. We see a lot of the pyramid marketing schemes where you have to buy all these products and then turn around and sell them. Good luck with that.
Right. Right, right, right. So sometimes, you know, this is common sense, but I think what happens is we get desperate.
Absolutely.
And then we make some poor choices.
Right.
So I think it makes a lot of sense to gather as much advice and good information as you can before you make any decisions. And that may mean not just listening to one source. Right?
Right.
Checking
right.
different places for good information. It means taking a look at your credit report. You know,
and that you can get them for free. Every
right.
year you can get one from each of the credit bureaus.
Right. So that is 3 credit reports a year for free.
And that's all they have to do is go to annualcreditreport.com.
That's right.
And be prepared to give up some personal information because they have to identify you.
Right.
So don't be alarmed. It's a secure site. And you do not have to
That's
pay for that.
That's a good point. That's
right.
a good point.
Right.
right. And it's free.
And, you know, that is one of the tools that I don't think people really utilize. But to me, your whole credit future is based on what a bureau contains about you. And you need to make sure it's accurate. That is the biggest thing of all.
And, you know, it is so common that there are errors.
Well, there are clerical errors. People make mistakes putting numbers into computers. There's all kinds of reasons there would be errors.
Right.
So, yes,
right.
You have to be vigilant.
So it's really important to take a look at your credit report, make sure it's accurate, and when it's not, dispute that information.
Right. And there are means set up to do that, and that your dispute, your complaint has to be answered.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, there's federal law for that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And as a matter of fact, there's been a new addition, a requirement by the CFPB that says that credit bureaus, if you provide some information proving that you paid a bill when it says you still owe it, for instance, that proof has to be passed on to the company that claims you owe the bill. And that company has to take that into consideration and then correct the error. So it used to be that you just had a little code passing between bureaus and companies.
Right.
You didn't
right.
have the actual documents. Now, if you've got the proof, there is no reason that should not come off your credit.
Exactly.
Credit.
Exactly. And fight it. I mean, that's just absolutely
right.
critical that you fight it. Well, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Ruth Susswine. She is the Deputy Director of National Priorities for Consumer Action. And give us the website again, Ruth.
We're at consumer-action.org.
And it's Dashing Action, right? Y'all are a very good group. Okay, so let's look at where we are in managing our own resources. We've got to analyze that. What are some of the other tools that are particularly critical? I mean, such as, you, as we just talked about, getting your credit report. Are there some other things that you need to do that are easy enough to accomplish, but consumers might not think about doing?
Sure. I would say really take a look at how much you owe. You know,
that's the big thing, and nobody wants to do that.
Yeah,
it's painful
yeah.
sometimes.
It's very easy to...
But it's painful, Ruth.
It can be very painful, especially when... Because these little dribs and drabs, you spend, you know, $5 here, $7 there, it adds up so quickly, and it's shocking when you look at what that total
well,
is.
Well, and look at how you're paying off your credit cards and how
right.
your credit card debt is impacting and what kind of rates are you paying on that credit card.
Right. So very important to have
a
credit card.
And that's so easy for it to just, you pay it every month and you don't think about it.
Right.
And I'm not knocking the credit card companies. They're wonderful. I love credit. I love our system of
sure,
credit.
It's important.
But it's important that we understand how to manage it.
Definitely.
Right.
Definitely.
I think that's where we've had calls from young people who are in college, for example, who have three and four credit cards. And we had one girl who said, I'm going to have to declare bankruptcy. I can't pay these debts. Well, that's not fair to the business, to the rest of us.
It's terrible.
Or anything. And then she's got this thing that she's going to be carrying with her for years.
For the next decade.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's really depressing.
That's awful. That's awful. So, you know, what we found is that people through this recession have been a little bit smarter about paying their bills.
Well, they've been more careful in terms of consumer spending. That's not good for businesses in a way, but it signifies
right.
an impact of tightening the belt and realizing that there's some realities we have to face.
Right. I mean, if you don't have the money, you don't make the purchases and you make sure to pay your bills.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is basic stuff at any point.
That's right.
Right.
It is.
And so, luckily, a good number of people have made those choices through this time, whether they've been forced to or whether they've just made wiser choices. They've said, you know what? I'm going to pay my balance off, my credit card balance off every month. So more people are doing that. And luckily, more people are not paying late fees on their credit cards and are not paying overdraft fees on their checking accounts.
That can really kill you.
Yes. And the truth is there is more consumer protection these days in the sense that now banks and other lenders must ask you if you're going to opt in, if you want to actually have the opportunity to overdraw your checking account. And the answer should be no. Right.
Because if you can't manage your, you have no business.
Right.
You having want to an be extension able, of credit. Right.
Think of using a debit card or even a prepaid card. But in this case, a debit card as a way to manage your money. If you say, I'm not going to use my credit card, I'm going to use my debit card. And what's in there, I know I have, I'll spend. And if
that's
I don't
it.
Have it, that's it. But if you have overdraft on that account.
You're running up debts.
Right. And unaffordable debts.
And it can be very expensive in terms of interest that you're paying.
Yeah. So the answer is don't overdraw the account. You know the limit. That's why a lot of people are turning to prepaid cards these days because it's almost
they limit you. Tell our listeners in case they are not familiar with prepaid cards.
So it's a gift card. Right. It just can be used.
It's got a certain amount of money on it, right?
Right. You load it. It's prepaid, right? You load it in advance, and then what's
on
the card?
Or hopefully somebody loads it and gives it to you,
right? Then it's really a gift card.
That's right.
But you use the money that's on the card. And these general purpose cards you can use anywhere these days. The big thing there is to be aware of the fees.
Right.
Because there can be a lot of fees. They've been coming down. There aren't as many. And there are ways around some of them. We have information on this on our website, too. But for instance, be sure that if you are not clear on how much is left on the card, that you're not going to pay a balance inquiry fee. That's ridiculous. Or you may be able to get around it by doing it by calling in, you know, and getting the information over the phone instead of at an ATM.
Sure.
And then not being hit with a $1 or $2 fee for that info.
Right. And, you know, it's $1 here and $1 there, and that adds up to serious money.
That's the end of your prepaid card balance.
That's right. That is absolutely right. Well, we only have a couple of more minutes. What are some of the other things that you think consumers need to be aware of in terms of looking at where they are today and where they want to be?
I think setting some goals for yourself is important. If you know that, for instance, you're going to be shopping for a new car soon, you may say that what you want to do is you want months before it's time to actually shop for the car and then maybe even a loan for the car. You want to take a look at that credit report, make sure everything's A-okay. Make sure, if possible, if you've got credit card balances, try to bring those down months before you're shopping for a car or a loan or somewhere where you're going to be borrowing money, because the less you owe, the more you'll be able to borrow if necessary.
What I was interested in learning is it's not the number of credit cards you have. It's how much you've utilized those credit cards.
Exactly.
What part of your available balance have you used up? If you have one credit card and it's maxed out, that's much more of a negative than four credit cards and each one of them has a smaller amount on it.
Precisely.
Which is really strange because it used to be, we were told, get rid of all those credit cards.
Right, right.
But it's not true.
We used to advise that regularly.
Exactly. You and I both did.
But the truth is, these days, they say that it's best not to use more than a third of your credit line.
Right.
That's not a lot.
No, it's not.
So
no.
It means you have to have a lot more available credit than you're actually using.
I guess the credit, the lenders look at these cards and these balances and say, well, this person has got an extensive line of credit and they're using all of it, which means they could really be a serious risk in terms of going over and not being able to pay back. Whereas if you've got a large amount of credit and you're only using a small part of it, you're a much better risk.
Right. That's what it looks like to the lender.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're paying your bills on time.
See, that's the thing that you don't understand.
Right.
You could be paying those bills off religiously. But it's that limit. It's how the proportion of debt to available credit.
Exactly.
That just blows my mind.
Yeah. And it's something a lot of people are not aware of. So it's good, it's good to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And that is one thing. And if you, as you said, you need to check those credit reports well before you're planning on making a large purchase, a car, house, moving to an apartment, even for that matter.
Right, right.
So, So anyway. Well, Ruth, it's been delightful seeing you again.
My pleasure.
Again, the website is consumer-action.org. They've got a ton of information there and wonderful resources, and I have looked it up and used it, on places to go to find the help that you need. And they give you the question and the answer. So there you go. But you've been listening to Of Consuming Interest. My guest has been Ruth Susswine. I am Shirley Rooker. Thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.